There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here. There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Travis Decker is who we're going to be talking about today, and we're going to be breaking down what on earth was going on with this man leading up to and after the alleged murder of his three daughters, Olivia, Evelyn, and Peyton, when he was having his custody visit because, you know, because he had some goo that came out of him at one point in life. He must be able to see these children on the weekend. What could possibly be more unhealthy if they're not hanging out with the PTSD borderline who's living out of the truck? That sounds like a great place for kids. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. Yeah, Nightbird is the new book. The copy I have is up in my room because that's where I was reading it. I got to bring it back down here, but it's available wherever books are sold. Nightbird. Okay. So this is one of those situations where it is a custody dispute. Mom and dad are separated here. I think they're divorced. Yeah, they're divorced. Ex-wife name is Whitney, so we'll be talking about her. Divorced with court-ordered custody agreements and arrangements. And it's set up where he can't have them overnights anymore because he's already proven that he's not so good at that. Took them to some sort of a veterans place and had the girls sleeping there amongst like 20 some other men who are essentially homeless. Not a great place for little kids, but the court still said you get your weekend visits. The hoops that you have to jump through, I guess, sometimes to get a judge to say you shouldn't be around the kids. Let's start there. What's going on here?
We have a broken system. Sometimes you find judges who do a good job, who do put the safety of the children first. But then you find judges who seem to be utterly clueless and come up with these plans. I mean, at the very least, this guy, if they decided he needed contact with the kids, which I think you and I would agree he didn't, it wasn't in their best interest, at least have supervised visits where you have a person who is present and monitoring every bit of interaction that goes on. And, you know, that would have been at bare minimum. But yeah, this was an atrocity. It was happening here in the Pacific Northwest near where I live, and I was in tears about it. It was just shocking.
It's heartbreaking. I have a little girl, and I have a stepdaughter too. And you see these little kids in these pictures, and it takes you back to when they're little. And it just, that was my worst fear, back then. Mine was pretty little at the time when I went through a divorce, also had someone who was diagnosed with BPD, and it was scary as hell. Eventually, when I did allow that for a short period of time, eventually she moved away. And that, I think, honestly, for the better, rather than this sort of thing happening. But when you have someone like this who insists on seeing the kids, has all of these health problems, as a parent, you're relying on that system to do its job, to protect your kids, to protect you. But quite often they do not, because there is this preset, if you will, in our system of, it's always best to have the paternal or the maternal parents there, seemingly no matter what. This has been, we've talked about this before, but let's just kind of start again for people who haven't heard it. Why do we have this in our system? Why do they believe that this is always the best route, when clearly we've shown for decades that it is not the best route to have the blood relative there? And it seems to be the trump card over everything else.
Yeah. We have got a mess in the legal system, and there's a lot of conflicting opinion about it. I wrote the name of the law down. In 1980, the Adoption Assistance and Child Welfare Act was established as a federal law to prioritize family reunification. And so family reunification became the default for what is considered the ideal goal in every circumstance. And this is a law based upon data from the 70s that highlighted all the problems that kids had that were in foster care. And as you and I have discussed, there can be tremendous problems with finding adequate foster care for kids.
Yeah.
However, this data, many believe this data is flawed and misinterpreted. And this idea that the default should always be number one priority is reunification, a lot of us disagree with that. And the problem is, once you have something established legally and in the system, it's very hard to change it. And I think that's where we need to be looking. There is an organization run by a woman who contacted me after you and I discussed this about a year ago,
oh, really?
This topic.
Yeah,
childwelfaremonitoring.org. And this is a blog run by a former social worker named Marie Cohen. And I think for anybody who wants more information about it, that would be a good resource to do some reading.
I have to look that up, childwelfaremonitoring.org. Mm-hmm. In the mental health community, in the psychological community, and the psychology community, where does this stand overall? Because we have the law, the legal world, which takes forever to get anything through or changed once it's there. And we have the medical community over here. I'm just talking about the medical, not the legal side. Mm-hmm. Overall, I mean, is there a stance that is held on this as a whole, where is family reunification still the gold standard? Is it still the thing that most people lean to, saying this is the best, or has that changed dramatically in that community? Or is it 50-50? How does it stand?
You know, I don't know of any organized statement that's been put out by any organization about it. I think most clinicians feel the way I do, that we have a mess. Mm-hmm. We have a mess. And very often the courts do the wrong thing. And then we get into the difficulty with, yes, there are problems with kids in foster care, and we don't have enough foster care. We don't certainly have enough quality foster care, and how to change that. I think we all get sort of stuck on, you know, the nightmare that is the child custody mess.
I feel like we have more stories here about people who have the right to be with their children doing horrible things to them versus people who do not have the right to be near their these kids. It seems like, I mean, the system seems to be working as designed right now. I mean, it's very broken in its results, but the system itself is functioning as designed, which the design is the problem here, is that needs to be adjusted. How does something like this get fixed or changed? I mean, in the legal side over here, are the courts following a directive or some sort of a statute of some sort of family reunification is always the goal no matter what? Yeah. Or is this really up to each individual judge depending on what they believe? Or does every jurisdiction have to go family reunification first and always if that's a possibility?
I think that family reunification first is the legal standard right now, that when it's possible to do that. But there are judgment calls. And I think often, you know, one of the horrors, I think we saw this in the Harmony Montgomery case, is that they try to reunify, and then there has to be a failure of the reunification. So the child has to be in danger or abused again. And how many times do we put them through this attempt at reunification? It's almost also, I think, this romanticization of parental bonds and that parents are uniquely equipped to love their children, which is absurd. Yeah. So I think some judges are certainly more savvy and others less so and just follow, you know, the most concrete guidelines about if parents jump through the hoops and go to the parenting classes and, you know.
But they don't.
I mean, they don't. They don't. And even when they do, I don't see little kids anymore, but I used to see a lot of little kids, and I would get these cases where they were trying to reunify them. And yeah, the parents would go to parenting classes, and they would learn to spout the verbiage that they were supposed to spout. I would discipline my child with positive love and always support their self-esteem. And they were just parroting. They didn't have a clue what that meant. But they had gone to the class, they checked the box, and okay, you did it, you know? And some of this, as we've also talked about in the past, child welfare is horrendously, as far as protective services, underfunded, understaffed. They burn the people out because they see these cases that are just atrocious, and they can't do anything, or they can't do enough. And I have seen a lot of child welfare workers come to therapy with PTSD because they just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah. And then you have these people who live this kind of a life, if they survive it as a child. And quite often, I would imagine there's a repeat of the cycle in ways, shapes, and forms, because they get so damaged by the system that is damaged itself.
Yeah.
And the cycle continues.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, Hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here. There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here. There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.